1 Samuel 25, I'll begin reading at verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish. That's the word we're using. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be in all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shearers were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, yet let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand, to thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shears and give it to men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. It's not going to turn out well, is it? You can already see the handwriting on the wall for Nabal. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. So he had 600, 400 go with him. We'll talk a little bit more about the account here as we go forward. But let me give you a little bit of introduction so you understand where we're going. And turn me down again just a notch. I'm not sure what changes sometimes. I think sometimes it has to do with other things, but it's a little bit louder, it seems, tonight. So this lesson we're going to go on tonight, it's going to be probably quite different than some of the other lessons that we have studied, in that it may be more instructional than transformational. I'm not sure of anyone sitting here tonight, I would define you as churlish, but there are churlish people. And so it's good to know what we're going to talk about. So in that way, it's instructional maybe more than transformational. May not directly apply to this group on this particular Wednesday night. But there's still value in learning about this particular enemy because it was an enemy and it is in the Bible and it's something important to know. Now, we have to understand this. We all have a sin nature. Never think you're beyond some sin. That's what's going to get you in trouble. When you say, well, I would never be like that. In any given situation, at the right temptation and the right opportunity and the right circumstance, there's no telling what you may do. So never trust yourself that you're beyond some sin. In fact, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. So our sin nature means that we're capable of any sin. Second, it's good to know this in case you meet someone who is, you say, that's a churlish person right there. So you know something in the Bible that speaks of it. And that's important because when we think about our lives, each person in this room has a unique area of influence. There's areas of your life, people in your life that you influence that maybe no one else in this room ever had the opportunity to influence. So it's important that we have some help in these areas. Now, let's talk a little bit about what do we mean by churlish. Let me give you some things to write down. Nabal didn't just have an abrasive personality. Okay, there are people who have an abrasive personality. You get around them, they're like, you know, 40 grit sandpaper. You know, they just start rubbing you raw real fast. Okay, some people are that way. Okay, that's not Nabal. Nabal didn't just have this abrasive personality. But he was purposefully hateful. Purposely hateful in his actions towards others. This wasn't a man who just, you know, had a bad day. This is a man who purposely was saying things and acting in such a way with a hateful intent. You can just see that in the way he's addressing this, and we'll go a little bit more on that in a moment. So what does this word churlish mean? Well, I'll give you some, if you were to look it up, here's some different synonyms or different words he'd use to explain it. Vulgar. He's very vulgar in the way he's dealing with David and his men. Very vulgar. Insensitive. Rude. Hard to work with. Classless. In other words, that guy has no class. Discourteous. Stingy. And all of these on purpose. It's not that he's I didn't know it was that way. He's almost proud in the way he's being this way. Now, when we think about this, we think about this as well. The root of this behavior was a very self-centered, selfish life. Now, watch this phrase, without consideration. And that's going to be the direction we go in this lesson. Without consideration of others. So he's purposely this way and could care less about anyone else. Now, if we find ourselves being like this, hopefully it wouldn't be the case, but if we do, or if we're dealing with someone who is like this, I'm going to give you three lessons from this text to apply to that. Now, I'm going to give you one more caveat or one more explanation. Nabal is a man. Now, I know in this day and age, it's kind of strange to say who's a man, who's a woman, because who knows? Okay, but I feel confident in calling people men and women. So Nabal is a man. And a lot of what we're going to talk about sounds like some men who can be this way. But understand that women also can be this way. I think that's important to note. This is not a gender-specific sin. It may be more men are this way because a lot of men can be knuckleheads. But women can be this way as well. In fact, let me show you some verses just so you're not, I'm not just throwing something out there. Hold your place in 1 Samuel. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 21. And it may be more, maybe it's just the way I look at it, but it's somewhat more offensive when a woman's this way. Because you don't like it when guys, you just say, well, you know, he's a stupid guy. What do you know? He's just an idiot. But when a woman's that way, it's just even more offensive. Because you don't expect women to be that way. Proverbs 21, let's look at verse 9. These may not be specifically churlish, but you see the leaning is that way. Proverbs 21, look at verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a White House. Now, that doesn't maybe click with us as much because most people don't live on the housetop. But in those days, there was living space up there. They would go up on the roof, especially in the heat of the day or the cool of the day, depending what the situation was. And what he's saying is, I would rather go on the roof, find some corner and stay there and let my wife have the entire house to herself just to get away from her. Well, it doesn't sound like it's a very good wife, is it? Look with me at verse 19, same chapter, chapter 21. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Let's look at one more, Proverbs 27. And I'm just trying to show you that this is not gender specific. It can go men and women. Look at verse 15 of chapter 27. A continual dropping in a very rainy day. You ever been out there and it's just this constant drizzle and it just kind of wears on you and you're like, man, and you know, every time you turn around, it's in your face or dripping on you. It's always getting on everything, gets in your coffee. It's just a miserable day. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. It just wears on you. That's the idea. So even though this Nabal is a man, it is, I think, clear that women also could be churlish. So it applies to both men and women. So what are we considering? Because we said the root of this behavior was a very self-centered, selfish life without consideration of others. So what should we be considering then? So we're not churlish. Glad you asked. Go back now to our text. 1 Samuel 25, look at verse 7. And now I've heard that thou hast shearers. This is David's message to him. Now thy shepherds were with us. We hurt them not. Neither was any, it was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever come into thy hand, and to thy servants, and to thy son David. Now drop down to verse 15. Nabal gives his answer. A servant perks up his ears and says, we'll all be dead men. So he runs and tells Abigail, Nabal's wife. Look at verse 15. This is what he's talking to Abigail now. But the men were, he's speaking of David's men, but the men were very good unto us. and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. Now, what's the phrasing here in verse 16? They were a wall unto us, around us, protecting us. They're a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. So here's the first thing we're going to draw from this. Number one is this. Consider what others have done to help you, or, now watch this, did not do to hurt you. And that's hard. I know it's, you know, the old statement, you can't prove a negative. I understand that. But in this case, they're considering, well, here's what they could have done, and they didn't do that. And here's what they did do, which was a positive. So if I don't want to be churlish, I don't want to have this vulgar, rude, hateful action towards others, then I should think about, consider what others have done in a positive way and what they did not do, which could have been a negative thing. One reason for this ill behavior, this churlish behavior, now watch this, is the belief that we are self-made people. I got here by myself. I can take care of myself. I don't need anyone else. And you are a fool if you think that. Every person has others who help them along the way. Whether it's your parents, whether it's some mentor, could be a spiritual mentor, whether it's friends, whether it's siblings, a spouse, whatever it may be. There's multiple ways that could happen. But none of us are self-made. And when we think we're self-made, then we think we do not owe our success to anyone but our own selves. I pulled myself up with my own bootstraps. I have no obligation to anyone. I don't owe anyone. And no one can ask anything of me. And that's going to have a churlish effect upon you. This failure to consider others causes us to mistreat them or not show proper respect for them. Now consider Nabal's situation. You have to understand who David is at this time. David is on the run from King Saul. And interesting. So David is on the run from King Saul. But David is well known, and we'll see again this in a moment, but David is well known as a fighting man. Before he was on the run from Saul, he was Saul's right-hand man. He was, if someone was giving him troubles, the Philistines or something, he'd send David, and David would put the whooping on him, and David would come back and say, "We whooped him." And they were like, "Yay, good job, David." Everyone knew who David was. They knew David's capability. Can you think of any story particular about David that is kind of a good story? David and Goliath. Let me ask you this. If some guy knocks down some huge guy and chops off his head and walks around and says, "Hey, look, I cut his head off." Do you think that news would get out and about? You don't even need social media. I think it would be rumored out pretty quickly. So people knew who David was. And they knew his 600 men, this David's mighty men, they knew the capability. They knew the fighting ability. They knew who he was and who they were. And these men were in that area around Nabal's shears. Now, admittedly, on the run from Saul, but this is where they were at. So the fact that David and his men were nearby, if you were a bad dude who's trying to steal sheep, and you knew David was there with 600 men, would you go there? Absolutely not. And they had people who just, that was not an uncommon thing for people to roam around and steal and such. But if you knew David was there, and you knew David was the big help of his fellow Jewish people, if you were a Philistine or some other group of people, you would stay away because I don't want to mess around with David's men there. And this is what the servant is talking about. So the fact that David and his men was near Nabal's sheep kept others from stealing them. No one would want to risk a confrontation. They would fear this risk of confrontation with David's forces, so they would have stayed away. Additionally, David did not let his men take anything. They could have. Let me ask you this. Who's going to stop them? If David's men came down and said, "We're taking those sheep," what do you think Nabal's people would have done? "All right, go ahead. God bless you. Nothing to us. You have all the sheep you want." So no one was going to stop David, but David took nothing. He took nothing, and he let no one else take anything. And all he did is show up and say, "Nabal, do you understand the good I did for you?" And what did Nabal do? "Get out of here, you bum! I don't owe you anything." And David's like, "Really? Let me come back and talk to you personally about this. I got 400 guys with swords, by the way, who's coming with me." So he had no consideration what was done to help him or what was done not to hurt him. So let me give you a couple more thoughts. One of the biggest differences between considerate and inconsiderate people, now watch this, is not the circumstances, but the thoughtfulness. You're not considerate because you have good circumstances. You're considerate because you're thoughtful about what's going on in your life. So let me add a little bit more to it. The more we think outside the box, in other words, this little world we live in, we think beyond, well, what did they do? And what could they have done they didn't do? I mean, that was pretty nice of them because they could have hurt me here. The more we think outside the box, the more considerate we will be towards other people. It is good to be considerate to those who helped you. It's also good to be considerate to those who didn't hurt you. Now you say, well, if they'd have hurt me, I'd have hurt them. But you didn't have to hurt them. It's much better not to have to fight. If you got to fight, you got to fight. But it's much better not to have to fight. So there's a lot of reasons Nabal should have said, David, you're right. When you were there, no one else was going to bother my people. I didn't have to worry about it. I'm thankful for it. And you didn't let your men, you had 600 men, but you kept on top of them. You didn't let them come down and take anything. Now, obviously, there's a need here because he's sending Nabal for, you know, what can you give me? We got 600 men out here in the wilderness. We could use some help. But he did not take it without, now think about this. He refused to take anything without Nabal's permission. And Nabal should have been thoughtful of that and said, you know what? I appreciate how you led your men, and I appreciate you being around my sheep, and no one wanted to mess with them. But that is not Nabal's response, because Nabal never thought beyond himself. And when you don't think beyond yourself, you become a churlish type person. And that's what Nabal did. So we consider what others have done with us, and did not do to hurt us. Let me build on that thought. So let's go back now to our text, 1 Samuel 25. Look with me at verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, now watch what Nabal says. Okay. And some of these things maybe you don't pick up right away, but as you sit there and think for a moment, I think you're going to start connecting things in your head. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? Can I tell you, Nabal knew exactly who David was. How do I know that? Well, go down to verse number 30. And watch what Abigail says when she's pleading the proper way. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. You know what people knew? People knew that he was the next in line. It had gotten out. It had gotten out so much that Saul didn't like it, and that's why Saul was trying to kill him. But people knew that God's hand was upon David, and God had anointed David to be the next king. Abigail knew this. She knew this because others knew this. Do you think Nabal knew this? Mm-hmm. Is that how Nabal treated him? Mm-hmm. Who are you? I don't know who you are. You're nobody. You're just running from King Saul. Everyone's running from someone. I'm not even going to worry about you. And Abigail says, wait a minute. This is going to be the next king. You better be thoughtful about how you're treating him. So here's number two. Again, this idea about considering, thinking. Number two is this. Consider the value of other people and their potential impact in your life. From Abigail's comment, it seemed common knowledge that David would be the next king of Israel. This would mean that Nabal would have known, which makes his treatment of David even that much more foolish. Nabal would have also known of David's reputation as a soldier, and he would have known that, hey, he's just over there with 600 men. Nabal, are you just out of your mind? Do you not have any sense? You know what you're saying? The next king is over there with 600 armed men. Why are you talking this way? So it was foolish for Nabal not to consider both the immediate as well as the future impact of his actions in connection with David. Again, here's a guy who can't think beyond his own little circle. I don't owe anyone anything. I've done it all myself, and I don't care about anyone else. And this is about to get him in trouble. Now, Abigail wisely considered both and thus acted differently. Before the service, Brother Gassard asked me about, because he saw the title Churlish, and he asked about it, and I said, it's about Nabal. And he said, I really respect Nabal's life. I'm like, what is wrong with you, man? You got problems. And he said, what he said is, I really respect Nabal's wife. And that is true. Abigail is an amazing character. She is a very good character to study. So Abigail wisely considered both and thus acted differently. Now, we may not be interacting with a future king who currently has 600 armed men nearby. That may not be our particular case. But we do live in a world that requires us to coexist with others. And these others can impact our lives both a positive and negative way. Doesn't mean we suck up to them. Doesn't mean that we try to compromise to get along with them. But it does mean I'm thoughtful that my actions have implications when I deal with other people. And I just can't be foolish about it, as if it isn't going to concern me. God has made the world this way, that we live in community, we live in social arrangements with others. And a wise man considers this. Okay? You may want to buy a 1,000 acres out in Montana and be completely away from everyone else. But the reality is that's not typically what's going to happen. Because even then, other people have tried that, and those little three-letter government organizations seem to still bother you. And so it's impossible to live in this world and not interact with other people. Now, again, we're not talking about being wishy-washy and not standing for anything. But it's just saying I've got to be wise. I've got to be thoughtful how I'm living my life and how I'm interacting with people, because it's going to impact my life. And why hurt my life unnecessarily just because I'm being mean and no one get along with me and I'm just being selfish and rude and discourteous? I need to think about my life and how it's interacting with other people. Let me just show you a couple of verses. Go with me to Genesis. We'll start our way there. Chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We'll look at just maybe three places just to confirm what I said about this interacting with people. Genesis chapter 2, look at me, verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. I know that's talking specifically about marriage, but the overall teaching is true, is that we don't live alone and we're not designed to live alone. All right? We are designed as social creatures. There's a social construct about us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look with me at verse 9. Again, we're talking about the social construct, how we live in interaction with other people. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look with me at verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So that's just this idea that we live in community. Let me show you one more place. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, just like Genesis 2 was talking about marriage, but it's still the idea that we live in with this interaction with others and we're designed this way. It's the same thing is true about 1 Corinthians 12. It's talking about church, but the teaching is still the same, is that we live in this interaction and we're designed to live this way. 1 Corinthians 12, look with me at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased them. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. This interconnecting, dealing with each other. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, but much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has said, hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. All right. So this whole idea is that there's this interacting among ourselves, whether we're talking about a marriage, talking about church, talking about life in general. We live in these social constructs. So we have to understand this, that we have this interaction with people. We can't be foolish about it. Now, this does not mean that we're helpless without others. It doesn't mean that we don't have to do our own responsibility. But it does mean that we live in connection with others. And we have to be considerate of this, that they are going to impact our life. So other people are going to have an impact on our lives. We have to be considerate how we treat them. There's an old saying, it's said different ways. I'll give you one of the ways it's said. Be careful of how you treat your paper boy. He may grow up to be the policeman who pulls you over. And the idea is that life interacts with people, and we've got to be thoughtful of that. Again, not talking about being wishy-washy and compromising, just being thoughtful. That my life's not going to be lived apart from others. So I can't just ignore how my life is interacting with them. So that's the second consideration, the value of other people and the potential impact. He had no thought about that. You got the future king with 600 armed men. You're not even giving it a thought. You're foolish. I'll give you the third. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 25. So what else could he have considered instead of being churlish? Well, Chapter 25, look with me at verse 8. Ask thy young men, this is now David's message to Nabal, and they will show thee. Now notice what David's asked for. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Now here's what he asked for. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever come into thy hand, unto thy servants, to thy son David. Did he ask anything for specific? He basically said, you decide what my service was worth to you. So he said, what do you think you should give me? He leaves it very open. Nabal could have chosen more or less, but the fact he chose nothing, that was an insult to David. It was an insult to him. And this is what caused David to say, grab your swords and let's go. Now notice Abigail's response. Look at verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses to take them to David, as it were. Go down to verse 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thy house, see I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Now why is that important? This brings us to our third consideration. Number three is this. Consider that a little kindness goes a long way when dealing with people. What Abigail gave to David, again, these things may not mean much to you because, you know, if they used dollars or said, you know, they gave him a new laptop or something that we would identify with, but these things we don't identify with. But just so you understand, what she gave him was a very small amount compared to the great wealth of Nabal. And David is okay with that. It wasn't the amount. It was the consideration that David was expecting. And the lack of consideration was an insult to David. And this is what got his ire up. So what Abigail gave to David was a small amount based on the wealth of Nabal, yet it was enough to pacify David's anger. Now think about this. Nabal could have done the same thing. Nabal could have gained this small amount and the whole issue would have been settled. There would have been no grab your sword and let's go chop some heads off. If Nabal would have said, okay, just here's what we're going to give you, and brought it back to David, I'm not saying David would have been happy, but at least David said, he showed me respect. He considered what I did. It was a zero giving insult to David, which is what caused David now to get upset. A little kindness goes a long way. I think it's important to understand as we deal with people. Even though There are those who do make great sacrifices for others. Most relationships are built on, now watch this, daily niceties that cost very little except for time and thoughtfulness. Most relationships are not built on great giving. They're built on just daily small things that you're doing to show thoughtfulness to the other person. A pleasant word, a polite greeting, a considerate act, a humble response does much to keep good relationships going and growing. But Nabal in his churlishness had no thought to even do any small kind act at all. And in doing so, now you read the rest of the account yourself. David does not kill him. You can tell that from his response to Abigail. But God seems to strike him dead. And guess who Abigail marries? David. Yes. So David gets the girl. So consider a little kindness goes a long way when dealing with people. Let me give you some concluding thoughts about this. Regardless of one's personality or natural disposition, we do not have to be churlish like Nabal. Okay, now, understandably, we may not be happy-go-lucky or the life of the party, but we can be considerate of others and show respect and kindness. This is not about your personality. Okay, I'm just not an outgoing person. Okay, this is not, Nabal's problem wasn't that he was shy. Okay, that's not his problem. Okay, the problem is he was churlish. So let me give you the last statement. This is a small price to pay to have a home that is kinder and more loving. Now, obviously, if everyone does it, it's much more kinder and much more loving. But we have to do our part the best we can. All right. Let's